It's time for Blue Darter Sports Central with your host, Roger Franklin Williams. Stay tuned for the latest updates on Blue Darter Sports, along with interviews with student athletes, coaches, and more. It's Blue Darter Sports Central on 1520 WBZW, your hometown station. Now, here's Roger.
Good morning, Apopka, and all of Central Florida. Joe Ferraro here, sitting in for Roger Franklin Williams. And we're going to have a great show today. I want to welcome you to this edition of Blue Darter Sports Central. We're broadcasting live from the campus of Apopka High School. And this program specifically is to highlight all the sports programs this fabulous institution has to offer. And with me, executive producer, athletic director, and all-around good guy, and cookie maker, right?
Yeah, okay, I'll do that one.
Fred Priest.
All those other ones, I don't even think I get anything for those, but at least I get some cookies.
Hey, you know, you got chocolate chip cookies, and that counts or something.
Absolutely. We do have a good show. We're going to start off with Coach Klink, who's going to talk about swimming for
us a little
bit. Yeah, we came off a big win over a rival. I know Coach Russell, especially for him, it's always a big match when we go up against Mackay High School. And so we're going to let Coach talk about that a little bit. And then in our second segment, we're going to have Scott Williams, our basketball coach. Now, I know we're not in basketball season yet, but the reality is those guys, they'll be cranking up here in a couple of weeks, start practicing. And they have a couple of, you know, preseason things going on that we want to talk about. And then we're going to have a couple of our cheerleaders on in the third segment. Our coach can't get away, but she's sending a couple of our girls, and so that'll be good to get that perspective of, you know, what goes on in our support groups around our football games.
You know, they do a great job at the football games.
Do. Yeah, they do, and Coach Cena McKenzie is doing a great job with those girls, and then of course the last segment we'll talk to, you know, Coach Darlington about. You know, the great game last weekend.
They pulled that out, didn't they?
They sort of did, yep. And then the game with the university tonight. So, but anyway, we got Coach Klink with us. Coach, let's talk about Wakaiva, and then we'll talk about what's going to go on from there and where we're at. But I know that's a big win for Coach Russell always.
Yeah, that's where Coach Russell's hair went, worrying about Wakaiva every year. This year we're really fortunate to have these good new swimmers. And the people that were there, they were doing best times, you know, the ones that have been on the team for 3 and 4 years. It was senior night, so they had them show off.
Yeah.
The parents were there, and Wakaiva had a really good crowd as well. But it was a really good meet for us.
Yeah, good. Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, when you win, that's always a
Where was that held at?
It was at Camp Weewaw.
Okay.
Now, we were the home
We were the home team, yes.
Sometimes people don't know that sometimes we share pools with folks, and so sometimes might be where you swim, but in practice, but it might not be your home
right.
No. Home meet. So,
It was home because I had to keep score. I hate.
Okay,
that.
There you go.
It was
right?
Terrible
because you're busy doing that instead of coaching, right? I get it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the we won, as we were talking about. We won 9 of the 11 events for the boys,
wow.
And the girls won every single event for
nice.
The girls,
yeah.
Which was really good. And we had some good standouts besides our freshmen boys, the club swimmers who were so good. We actually had guys doing best times in quite a few events, which is always what we're looking for.
Sure.
But before that, I mean, that was Wednesday. On Saturday, quite a few of the kids swam in the Brantley Invitational. There were like 22 teams at that Invitational. And we had, two of the guys they got some sixths and fifths overall. And this is like out of 50 or 60 swimmers.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. And you're talking the team-wise. They had teams from all over Central Florida, like Seminole and Winter Park and Mount Verde, Olympia, Fletcher from up in Jacksonville. So they came from all over for this meet. So it's usually a big invitational meet Brantley has every year. And it was well represented. And we had really good representation for our guys. We actually placed with decent points this time with the girls, with Emma swimming in the 100 fly and the 200 free. And then the boys, Nathan and, Nathan, what did he get? I got to look at that. Oh, Nathan got a third in the 200 IM, which is
wow.
Very nice.
Yep. And there's a lot of, you get to kind of get a feel for, if not what you're going to look like at state, but maybe in region.
It's definitely what you're going to look at districts and regionals. A lot of the teams that were there will be in our district and probably in the regional. Well, yeah, obviously in the regionals as well. And I'm looking at possibly at least three of our swimmers making it to states. I mean, that's
nice.
That's hopeful, but they have the ability to do it if they keep improving. And you know, that'll always be nice.
Absolutely. And for some folks out there, they might think three is, you know, but three is a big number when you start talking, when you understand that you're going through a district that's fairly good, you're going through a region that's really good, and you have to survive those two steps to even make it to the state swimming meet.
Total survival.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you survive, if you can survive the districts, you make it to the regions, then you have to survive the regions to make it to the states. And
yeah,
there's a lot of swimmers in Florida, and you have to beat them all out to get into these positions. We have metros on the 5th of October. It's either going to be at Winter Park or at the...
Yeah, I don't know if that's been decided yet. They're still
trying
Winter
Park or YMCA on I-Drive, so... it would be nice. It's the west side of town. It would be really nice if it was on the YMCA, so we don't have to drive across. But Winter Park are great hosts for that anyway. But we have two more meets left. We have Oak Ridge on Monday, and on Wednesday's Winter is West Orange. West Orange is, I think, way too strong for us, but they're probably going to take second or third in metros, if not win it. But we always like to schedule a tough team.
The Metro meet, is that split up in East and West, or is
that's
it everybody?
Split up in East and West.
So you already mentioned West Orange is being one of the powers. Who else do you look at in that?
Dr. Phillips and Olympia.
Okay. And that's pretty traditional, isn't it?
That's traditional, yes.
Yeah. I mean, since I've been here, that's kind of what it looked like when I went to watch that those were the three and pretty consistent that way. But it looks like you have the kind of kids that can... In some of those events, though, that can break in there and score. And
they score points. When they get up high in that thing, you score points. You score lots of points compared to, you know, if you don't make it in the top 16, you get nothing.
Right.
And, you know, there's quite a few swimmers that will be there. So
yeah.
I think Emma has a really good chance of being the district champion, which would really be nice. And Nathan Bacuzzo and Mason Combs, unbelievable the way they're swimming. And I didn't want to leave out Matthew Murphy. He wasn't at Brantley on Saturday, but he's doing great times as well. So these three freshman boys are really going to make an impact on swimming in Central Florida.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Find one more, you got a relay then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. There might be one coming. Absolutely.
He's sitting out there, or she's sitting out there somewhere.
Right? That's right.
Yeah, we're looking for one more boy to get the relay. We do have a couple guys that will at least give it a try for the relay. Stephen Aaron's one of our captains. He has the ability to be in that relay, but we could, you know, maybe an extra person. Always have five in case somebody gets sick or something.
Absolutely.
That would be really nice to take that to regionals and maybe states.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, that's fun. So Wekiva, we talked about that. You got metros coming up. What other duels do you have coming up before
Oak Ridge on Monday.
That? Okay.
And they have a very small team, so we're... You know, just going to go there and really give a lot of the new guys their final chance to really swim individual events. Because unfortunately, with metros, you can only swim 16 people.
Right.
So, you know, some of the new guys aren't going to get to swim, which breaks my heart because they've been working so hard. But, you know, you can only swim your top four for each event, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So.
But in the duels, like you said, that's the time where the younger kids or those that are not quite up to what they need to be to get in that top four in an event,
and
this is their chance.
Yeah, and what's been nice is some of the teams we've been swimming have smaller teams. I don't think anybody that's as big as our boys. And they have an empty relay, so we're able to put a third relay, that not counting, but we're able to put that third relay in, and we pack it full of all the new guys.
Absolutely.
And they're loving it. They do their best when they get out there, too.
Well, they get a chance to get in. That's what they practice for and want to be a part of that, and that gives them that opportunity. Yeah, that's great. Absolutely. So Oak Ridge, and then you said who else was next?
West Orange.
West Orange.
That's Wednesday.
And, yeah, now, in a duel, do we stand a better chance in a duel with them, or is it... Because I know as the meets get bigger with the quality kids, that becomes tougher. But
yeah, well, they swim at their, they swim. I guess we're swimming at Southwest, which is pretty much most of the West Orange kids' club.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah,
their home turf.
Even home turf. They train there besides high school.
Now, do they have a lot of kids on their teams too? They got numbers.
They have the numbers, yes.
Yeah.
And she, the coach down there, she's done a great job with that team. And their, I think their goal is really to knock off Olympia and Dr. Phillips this year.
Yeah.
And I think they, you know, last year they just missed. So I think this year they really have a chance of doing it.
Interesting. So we just, again, it might be another situation where our quality kids get a chance to compete against the kids that they're going to see in finals, probably district and region.
That's always good. The swimmer from Wakaiva, I think his first name is Matthew Dewey, who swam last year in the districts and regionals. He is a really good swimmer, and he went up against our two guys. And they were if there was a pool record anybody was keeping track of, they would have set it on Wednesday in that meet. The breaststroke was stroke for stroke. The butterfly was stroke for stroke. And they were putting out some beautiful, beautiful times. Some of the time, that breaststroke time 5 or 6 years ago would have been in the top 10 in the States.
Isn't that fun?
Not anymore.
Not anymore, right? No, it's amazing from the time when I was a kid in high school. And I'm looking at the times today, and the girls are now swimming as fast as our guys did, back when water was hardly even wet at that time. But, you know, it was so long ago. But the girls are swimming that fast now, you know, and it's amazing. You wonder, where is that line where, you know, you just can't drop time anymore? You know, obviously you could drop more time off of longer distances. We talked about this with track and field as well. But, I mean, it's incredible how fast these kids are swimming. And when you watch the Olympics, you know, that were on just here, you know, a month or so ago, the times just amazed me.
You know, years ago when I graduated from college, the guy broke 50 seconds for the 100 meters for the first time ever.
Yeah,
and now you couldn't even... You know, show up at the Olympics unless you went in the 40s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we're talking, they're sinking in the low 40s. And yeah, it's incredible what they're doing. And you watch the 200 meters, and that's a sprint anymore.
Yeah, 200's a sprint. Yeah. And I know one of the girls actually said she doesn't like the 200 because she doesn't know whether it's a sprint or long distance. She gets confused.
No, it's not long distance anymore. And I'm not so sure at the Olympic level that the 400 isn't almost that way anymore.
Well,
just
some of
incredible.
The two of the girls at Lake Brantley, the ones that beat Emma, they had incredible 200 times.
Yeah.
And some of their 200 times would have got them into college years ago.
Yes.
As a boy.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I just look at it and I'm in awe of what they do now. I mean, yeah, we were.
But the training and, you know, the techniques and stuff, and they have their goals. And I think a lot, as Emma said last year when we were talking about it, they get to a point where they are you going to keep swimming or not?
Yeah.
And now they can concentrate more on the really good ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like they concentrate at these academies for
sure.
The good quarterbacks and the good basketball players and stuff, and take them out of high school and off they go. So.
And there's probably a whole radio show on what the good and the bad of all that is, but still at the same time.
Well, it's kind of what the Russians do.
Well, yeah, that's what they do.
The Chinese.
It took the words out of my mouth.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
They
right.
recognize them when they're young and then take them from there.
Yep.
Coach, thank you for being here and letting everybody know about the swim meet coming up.
Yes, well, like I said, it's Oak Ridge on Monday and West Orange, and they're both away. So we actually had our last meet at Weewa on Wednesday.
Yeah, because we're winding down. I mean,
it's strange. It's September and we're winding down, but we've got districts on the 19th of October. So the Metro is on the 5th, 19th is districts, and I believe the following week is regionals.
Yeah.
And I think the districts and regionals will be at Lake Brantley for us.
Well, we're up against our first break. Coach, again, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to come back, talk to Coach Williams
for
basketball. You're listening to Blue Darter Sports Central on your hometown station, 1520 WBZW.
It's Blue Darter Sports Central on 1520 WBZW, your hometown station. Now, here's Roger.
Welcome back to Blue Darter Sports Central. Joe Ferraro here sitting in for Roger. And along with me is the guy, Fred Priest, athletic director.
And I think we got our basket. I don't know. I've met him a couple times. I have to talk to him on the phone mostly.
I just read about him in the newspaper.
They keep him teaching. He's always teaching, it seems like. But we're glad to have him. He's on the radio with us. He's on the phone with us. And Scott Williams, our basketball coach. Scott, you there?
I am. Fred, Joe, how are you guys doing today?
Doing very well,
we're
Coach.
Good.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Hey,
my pleasure.
So So we're going to talk we know it's not basketball season, but we also know that we're not that far away from it gearing up. And like football, who does a lot of their pre-stuff in the summertime, you're already done some stuff here in the fall. So let's talk about that a little bit. I know we got – when I answer the phone and someone asks me about fall basketball or baseball or softball, I said I don't have those teams, but I know they're out there somewhere. Tell us about what's going on in the fall with basketball.
We have a group of our older guys that are in a fall league that's played over at Ocoee High School on Monday and Wednesday nights, and so it's an opportunity for us to run around a little bit and begin the process of getting used to playing with each other and learning how to compete together. And you know, it's been as you would expect with a team that is going to be young, talented, but young and inexperienced for a while. It's been, you know, a little choppy, a little up and down for us so far. But that's the beauty of why we do it, and to be able to just, you know, I don't believe in playing a ton in the fall. An awful lot of what we do is we're trying to get skill work in. We're trying to get in better shape. But to be able to play a little bit with our older guys that'll make up the core of our varsity team is always a very positive thing. And so we're involved in that league here for three more weeks. And then the season starts. First day of practice is October 31st. And we actually play a game 2 weeks after that in our tip-off classic. So it'll be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah, it'll be right on top of us. Tell us a little bit about the rumor is we've got a little bit of size. Is that right? Am I hearing that right? Or is that just something I made up?
You know, I mean, we're still, you know, compared to most folks across the board, we'll be, a little bit undersized. But that's okay. I mean, I've always felt like that I'd rather coach a team that has good guard and wing play. You know, you can survive without necessarily having bigs. Now, we are blessed. We've got a young man that moved back into this area after being in New York for a couple years, and he moved back down here with his mom for a senior year. Elijah Dixon, a young man 6'6", who, you know, will give us a little bit of post presence, has the ability to impact the game, and he's learning a lot. He's got a lot to learn, but his attitude and his mindset's been really good about just jumping right in and being a part of our culture. You know, we're a team outside of him that is really, if you were to be totally truthful, is nothing but guards. Now, some of those guys will play out of position, which is fine, but that's also the way it normally is. And you know, we don't have there's not a bounty of 6'8" guys running through the door, and that's okay. That's okay. When you have them, it's right. Great, but you can certainly survive without them.
Well, I think when I was the athletic director at Port St. Joe 100 years ago, I think you'll remember Vern Epinette and his teams. I don't think Vern ever had a kid over 6'2", and, you know, he won 5 out of 6 state championships in that 6-year span, and all they did was just run around with folks and pick them up on the bus and put them back on the bus when we were done with them. So
I'm telling you what,
right,
Vern is a, you know, rest his soul. You know, of course, he passed a few years ago.
Yep.
And, first of all, just a decent man and a phenomenal basketball coach. And a lot of things that they do, we're not quite as frenetic about the way we play, but there's certainly shared philosophy. And, you know, Vern and I go way back to even when he was the head coach at Claremont High School, in Lake County, and before he took the job up there. And so, you certainly, in high school basketball, you win if you have guards, and bigs are just a luxury to have and on top of it.
Absolutely. I think, and I'll say this, Joe, about our coaching staff, and is that if there's a group of guys that can take whatever that's given to them and get it done, it's Coach Williams and Coach Grissick. They do a phenomenal job.
And one thing about the Blue Darters, whether it's basketball or whatever the sport is, the players have heart.
Yeah, I think that's
– they've got a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a really competitive group of guys, and I tell you what, I think top to bottom, the level of talent of our program has grown, even though we lost a really great core of 6 seniors. You know, those guys came to us a year ago with really only one of them having had any kind of substantial varsity experience, and so it was a learning experience for them all year long. And so this year we come back with 5 returners. Now we're without 2 of them at the moment because one plays football, and And the other young man, Jai Clark, is rehabbing off of minor knee surgery. And so it's great because we're getting more guys down the road, some greater experience and opportunities to get better. And I think you know, we will only have most likely the one senior in our program. And so what we're doing now and where we're growing is really a two-year process, and we think we're going to end up being very, very good and a team that our community can be very proud of and very excited to watch.
Yeah, and like you said, that kind of thing where you get to, you know, sometimes when you lose a kid or he's out for a little bit, it's kind of, you know, a downer of sorts. But when you get the other kids a chance to get in there and play and build that depth up, it becomes a silver lining.
Well, it's just like during the season, if somebody gets in foul trouble or twists an ankle, you know, it's next man up. And so this just provides opportunities for that.
Absolutely. Coach, who are the seniors coming back?
Well, we don't have a single senior coming back. Our returners are all juniors and sophomores. Juniors, Nathan Lewis, Jai Clark, and Berthel Bridges, all of whom have very, very big roles in our program. Berthel, who started last year, Jai, who started last year, Rodney, who started as a freshman, of course, last year, pretty much missed the season because of injury. You know, so we have three kids that are starters right there, then two sophomores, Nathan Lewis, who started a little bit for us and will inherit a very big role, and Terrence McClain, who moves from being our backup point guard to our starting point guard. And you know, it's you know, one of the best measures of where you are as a program is what the colleges think of you. And you know, we've had four, five, six different colleges that have come through this month during the open period to watch our kids, to be involved with them and let them know that they're interested in recruiting them. And you know, so there's a lot of talent here. It's just got to be cultivated and some experience along the way.
Oh, we're definitely looking forward to a great season, and I believe we're going to be carrying some of the games again this year.
Yeah, that's right.
1520 WBZW.
So that'll be good. Now I got a note here that there's a community event coming up. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the first annual Hoops for Hope charity basketball event. It's a fundraiser that's designed. It was under both Brian Nelson and Kyle Becker. Their offices and their endeavors are involved with this, with a parent awareness group in the Apopka community. And just do that. And so we are excited to be involved from the standpoint that some of our guys are partnering with some of the players from Wakaiva and Coach Yersino Lubin, and we'll be playing against a charity group called the Court Kings. Best way to describe it is a modern day Harlem Globetrotters. You know, a lot of ex-college players and guys like that travel the country. Being a part of different worthy events like this, the purpose here is there. You know, the community is trying to help partner between law enforcement and the area youth and folks in terms of relationships and all the things that can be done in a very challenging time in our world and our society. And you know, we're just really honored that that first anybody wanted to do such a thing, and then secondly that we can be a part of it in any way, shape, or form. And so we're real excited to be there next Wednesday. And I get the opportunity to speak for a few minutes, and I'm very humbled by that. And hope that a lot of people go over there, because the people that are involved with this have a great heart and a mind for our community.
Okay, remind us again at where that's going to be in the time, Coach.
It is from 4 to 8 over at the Cooper Rec Sportsplex, which is on 110 Athletes Row here in Apopka. And it's 4 to 8. And my understanding, I believe, is that the game itself will take place a little bit after 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Once again, that's next Wednesday afternoon.
Wow, that'll be a great thing. Now, did you say that we are partnering with Wakaiva on that deal? Is that what you
we mean? Are? We're combining, you know, a handful of five of their guys, five of our guys are putting together a team, and you know, it'll probably resemble the NBA All-Star Game. I don't know if there'll be a great deal of phenomenal defense, but I think it'll be great fun. I think it'll be fun for these guys to get compete against some people that obviously are very, very talented and enjoy doing these kinds of things.
That's always that also looks like a rivalry love moment to me.
I just think that anytime we can, as a program, connect ourselves with things bigger than the game, that it's really important and really helpful. And this, you know, it's the first time they've done it, so I'm hopeful it will grow into something that will mean a great deal to our community moving forward. But I was really honored that they thought about including us in any way.
Yeah, that's great.
I believe I saw that on my calendar. We're going to be out there broadcasting something.
Oh, so you might see Joe.
That's
out
right.
There
I
that.
Do know that. Yeah, I knew that Roger was going to be over there. Miss Robinson, who
he can't
is
go there without
the
me.
Event, had already said, "Hey, Roger may grab you," and I said, "Roger knows how to grab me, and whatever he needs from me in terms of, you know, I'm passionate. You know, I coach. I coach predominantly African American young men that are growing up in a world that that they have challenges, and they have a life experience that is different than my life experience. And anything that I can do to help promote attitudes of social awareness and consciousness, even through a game of basketball, is something that I think we all should be a part of in whatever way, in whatever we think. Communication, conversation, and people learning about people is really valid, and so I'm really excited about it.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Appreciate the information. I know that there's people out there that are already thinking a little bit about basketball, and so
I hope so. We're excited about the season, and we love playing here at Joe Sterling Gym. We love our crowds and our student body, and we think as we continue to build something special, it's going to get even better and better.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Coach.
Thank you very much, guys.
You got it, Coach. Thank you so much. And we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk with some beautiful ladies from the cheerleading department at Apopka High School.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Blue Darter Sports Central on your hometown station, 1520 WBZW.
It's Blue Darter Sports Central on 1520 WBZW, your hometown station. Now, here's Roger.
Welcome back to Blue Darter Sports Central. We're broadcasting live from the campus of Apopka High School. I'm here with Fred Priest, and now we're going to be joined by the Blue Darter cheerleading squad kind of representation.
Two of them, anyway. Right. You know, you remember when we had Mr. Langford on with the band, and it's much the same way when you when you go to a football game, you know, obviously the main thing that's happening is on the field, and, you know, you're trying to win a game, and everybody, you know, they come to watch the football game. But the atmosphere is set up by the band, by the cheerleaders. Because if you go to have a football game and you don't have a band there and you don't have cheerleaders there and all they're doing is out there playing a football game,
it's boring.
It's very boring. It really is. I mean, it's like watching a football game without the sound on, you know, and you're watching these guys run around. And but for the team, you know, as a former coach for the team, for me, those are the things that set the atmosphere for the game that help with the intensity of the players playing. And so to me, it's important. And a lot of times you hardly even notice them. And it's sort of like you hope the officials will be that you don't notice them. And then they're doing a good job, you know. But a lot of times, even though the band's loud and the cheerleaders are leading cheers and doing their thing, sometimes they don't get noticed as much. But you would notice them if they weren't there.
That's a fact.
You know, so I'm excited about having we have Gracie Darlington and we have Faith Philman that are here representing our team. We have a new cheerleading coach this year, Sheena McKenzie, that's working with the girls. And so, girls, we're going to talk to you a little bit. First of all, let's talk with Gracie because Gracie's got a tough job. She's the head football coach's daughter. And I know about that.
Hang on, girls. Hang on. All right, there you go.
Oh, you got them? Okay.
Got them now.
All right. And I had two daughters that were head football coaches' daughters, and it's not the easiest thing in the world for me. It was for them, I think. I don't know. Let's ask Gracie what she thinks. Let's talk about that first, Gracie. Let's get that out of the way. We got Gracie Darlington. Talk to us about that aspect of, you know, going through high school being in high school, being a cheerleader, and then also being the head football coach's daughter.
It's made it fun. It's made me anticipate high school a lot more, whereas, like, growing up, my dad came here in 99. That's when I was born. So I've been on this track for a while. So to come out and cheer on the track's really fun. So yeah. I wanted to be a cheerleader for my dad and for the Blue Darters for a long time.
There you go.
So
right?
It's made me anticipate it more. It's not just high school.
You were born a Blue Darter.
Yes, I was exactly. Born a Blue Darter. Yes, sir.
Yep, that's good. Not many football coaches' daughters can say that. I'm going to tell you that.
Not many people can say that.
Because they become lots of different things, that's for sure. Well, even your brothers were lots of different. Were a couple different things before they were Blue Darters.
Yeah,
that's right. You can say that. That's interesting. That's kind of neat. Faith, tell us about the cheerleading team now. What is it? If there's anything different, or you know, what's going on? You've gone through some coaching changes, and so tell us about that and how that's going.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a different head coach all 4 years of cheering at Apopka. Just the switching of coaches, it's been different, but we learn something new every year. It's just a new atmosphere, and this year we've got a great group of girls. Miss McKenzie's amazing with us. She's very easy to learn from. She's teaching amazing. Mm-hmm. So we really enjoy her this year.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, that's good to hear because it's tough. I mean, there's some of our teams that have gone through four different coaches in 4 years here. And that becomes very difficult because it's hard to get a flow in going through things. So, Grace, let's talk about competition. How is that affecting the competition? When do we start competition cheer? Are we doing anything right now leading towards that?
We have the homecoming games coming up, and that's kind of like our – it's kind of like our pregame for that. So we have a trial run for the homecoming parade where we'll perform like we would in competition. And we are kind of moving that direction as obviously the season's not coming to a close really, but we're kind of switching our mindset to more the competition season. Yes, and our coach actually has been a competition coach for years. And so that's her wheelhouse. So she knows what she's doing. So we're moving that way. We're trusting her with that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because hopefully we got like 10 or 11 weeks left for football season. So hopefully you guys are going to be doing double duty. That's what we're hoping for, right?
Yes.
So, Faith, you're a senior.
I am a senior.
Okay, so as a senior, your last year now, tell us about that a little bit. Is it how different is that for you? Does it seem different? And what's your goals from here?
Yeah, it's emotional. It's my last year cheering for good. I've been cheering since I was 4, so this is all I know. Sheena coming in, she was my coach when I was little. She's coached me my whole life. So to have her as my coach my senior year, it's been amazing. And we're coming back with the competition season. We haven't done this in a while, so it's something new we're starting up, and it's great to be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about beyond high school? Do you have any plans? Do you know what you're doing yet?
Yeah, I plan on attending a four-year university. I'm not sure which one yet. I want to study nursing and go into get my doctor's degree. So
good. Now, are you planning on trying to be a cheerleader going forward, or do you just don't know yet?
Yeah, I'm not completely sure. Just size-wise, I don't know if I'll be able to compete in college cheerleading. They're so short and little, so.
It is different, isn't it?
It is.
They are small.
They are like 5 feet tall, and I'm a little bit taller than that. So.
Yeah, they all look like our running back.
Yeah, the 5'1". I don't know. Massey might take my place in co-ed cheerleading.
Right? Yeah. That could possibly be.
All right, I got a visual. Stop.
Just stop. That's pretty good. Okay, so Gracie, what grade are you in? I don't even know.
I'm a junior.
Junior now.
Yes,
you're
a
junior
sir.
Now. Wow. Yeah. That goes fast, doesn't it? Yeah. So what about you, goals? Let's talk about that a little bit. You're getting to the point where you should be looking ahead as well. Not yet. Not in a hurry, but, you know, you're getting
ready. Kind of changing where high school's ending, so you're trying to decide.
Absolutely.
I'm not really sure, obviously, but I have ideas. There's a college in Texas called Southwestern University, and I'd like to go there and study something in Christian ministry. Mm-hmm. I sing, and I want to look into something like that. Yeah. Not really setting my feet there, but maybe.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good goal.
It's absolutely. A good option.
Yes.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. So, okay, so we got, help me again. I think you said it, but when does competition actually start? Do we know?
We're going to start forming a team around the end of October, beginning of November, I believe. Maybe smaller, maybe larger. We're going to kind of hint around with it, play around, try some new things. Yeah. So
And we'll it goes until February, or late January, February is about when the season would be over if we were to go on to the farthest.
Now, I know in the past you did, there were some competitions that happened like during the, like before the football game started, or am I right about that? Am I remembering that right? That you did, there were some kind of competitions going on late in the season. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. We will be competing during football season if we go far into playoffs.
Right.
So we will be going back and forth between
that. Around that November would be when we had some actual competitions during football.
Now, the girls that are on the cheer squad, are they also on the competition squad, or is that something that you have to try out for again, or how's that working?
When you tried out for varsity, you were trying out for the competition team as well. We may be pulling some up. We may be having some leave for other winter sports where they cannot compete. So we're going to kind of...
Girls that play soccer or something like that.
We're going to switch it around and see what we can come up with.
So that's why we're not sure about what our size is going to be. Yeah. Is that what we're talking about then? Because, okay, explain that a little bit. Because there's a lot of folks out there that don't get what we're talking about with competition cheer.
Yeah. And I picture the Nationals that they used to have up in Jacksonville.
Right.
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about, going for that?
Yeah. Yes. Smaller scales. Like, we build up to that.
And there's a state championship, too.
Depending on how well we do.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine used to do the audio for that.
But what they're talking about also is, I don't think some people might understand, is that there's the sizes of the teams and the makeup of the teams are different. It's not like, we have a football team. So explain that a little bit about what we're talking about, where we're not sure yet what kind of team we're doing.
You can have small, medium, large, extra large. It's just depending on the size of the girls. It's more of how many stunt groups you can fit in. Some teams go tumbling, some go non-tumbling. So it's if you
also skill, skill level.
Skill level. If you can flip, if you cannot flip, how many girls you have to throw up. So it's just kind of stunt group sizes. So it ranges from small to extra large.
Yeah. And we're talking about numbers now, right?
Yes.
Not the size of the group.
Right. Yeah.
No,
okay,
not the stunt groups. Stunt size. How many stunt groups we can fit into.
Okay, I just want to make that
strong
clear.
Strong women.
Yes. But also there's co-ed teams, too. Isn't that right?
There are co-ed teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they do get the boys involved in that as well.
And you compete with your size. Like, if we enter as medium non-tumbling, then we would compete against the other teams. At the arena.
Medium non-tumbling.
Yes, we compete with our kind.
It's really fun. I've been there. The state meet, I guess they call them, usually is in Kissimmee at the Silver Spurs Arena. Is that what it's called?
Silver Spurs,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And then, the girls are up there or the teams are up there. And it's an amazing event to go watch. It really is. So I've been there a few times and in the past with other schools that I've been with, and we've had some pretty good teams. And it's something to go see. So if you haven't seen, and you don't have to be there a long time if you want to just watch your team.
Just
you're there about 2 minutes, right?
Two and a half minutes, right?
And so you don't have to be there all day.
It's going to take you longer to park.
Show up and watch yours, and you can go if you want. So it's fun. So it's a great time.
Gracie Darlington, Faith Filman, thank you so much
thank
for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Could be had, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Thanks, girls. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And good luck.
And it's a great insight into what the cheerleaders do. And you're right, Fred. Without the cheerleaders on the field, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the band.
Watching just football.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You're listening to Blue Darter Sports Central on your hometown station. We're going to be back with Coach Rick Darlington as soon as he pulls up in his limousine.
Right.
We'll be right back.
It's Blue Darter Sports Central on 1520 WBZW, your hometown station. Now, here's Roger.
Back to Blue Darter Sports Central. We're live from the campus of Apopka High School. Fred Priest is with me, and now we're being joined by the head football coach of the Apopka Blue Darters, Coach Rick Darlington. Coach, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
I told Coach that he's under a little bit of pressure. Gracie was here before him, and so he's got a tough act to follow, that's for sure.
What did y'all talk to Grace about?
Cheerleading. She did such a great job. Faith Filman were here, and they did a great job. And we talked about cheerleading and how important it is to the atmosphere of a football game. And
she definitely knows her stuff.
Yes.
She tells them the right cheers to do.
If we're
on defense, she tells them not to say we want a touchdown.
We were talking. She is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, your first child in high school that is a Blue Darter from the day she was born. Is that right? Or was Molly too?
No, let me think. Now, Grace was born when I in 99 when
right.
I was a coach here.
Yeah, she's the first one to be
born a blue darter.
Born a blue darter, and still
I remember
a blue
there
darter.
Were some thoughts I might miss a game or something. Yeah, Molly was born in Eustis.
Yeah,
and I actually did leave the sideline during a game, but she wasn't born. It was like. There were some issues. We went to the hospital, but she stayed in.
Yeah, she's messing me up.
So that's why I still have issues with Molly.
Good for Molly.
She delayed things.
I told Gracie, I said, that's not always the football coaches don't always get to have their kids be a blue darter from the beginning to the end. So well, good for her. Hey, look, let's talk about DP game first. What a game, right? I mean, if you didn't care who won and some of you were watching the game, it was a great football game, right?
The thing about the game that strikes me is, you know, the crowd was huge. And with it being a regular season game and a TV game, that's really an anomaly. Because, again, regular season games, we don't get the – we get good crowds,
right.
But it was a playoff-type crowd.
Yes, it was.
But when you have the fact that the TV game is the situation, because that takes people away. So that speaks even more to the magnitude of it and the impressiveness of the crowd. And we appreciate the fans coming out for that one because it was definitely a great atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. I think on everybody's mind, and even John Perry's in the newspaper, let's talk about that last play. You know, you hate to second-guess folks, but I'm still kind of going, why
didn't
you throw the football, right?
I thought it was brilliant.
You know what I thought
it was?
Yeah, it was brilliant. But you know what I thought was brilliant, really, on their part, was their last drive. I mean, they up the clock. They go, this is the last drive.
Well, we couldn't tackle their quarterback.
And we can't tackle
until that, we'd given up like 19 yards in the second half.
Yeah.
But the quarterback got away a couple times on scrambles, and that's kind of an Achilles heel. You know, that was disappointing. But, you know, I mean, they get the ball on the five. You know, we're all thinking the same thing. Get it centered up, spike it, kick a field goal, win the game. But
yeah. And you're going, okay. And really, in my mind, just to apologize, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, it was a great football game. We'll see these folks again later on down the road. You know, I'm already conceding that, well, obviously they're going to, you know, run the quarterback maybe a time or two and then kick the football and we'll be out of here. But you know what? That's why they play the game, right, Coach?
Yeah, people are on the coach about it, but there's been rumors that the quarterback checked to the play.
Well, that's what we were talking about.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had a game like that in Georgia where we told the quarterback, don't force the ball. If it's not there, throw it away. Yeah. We'll kick the field goal. Playing Washington County when I was at Appling County. And what does the quarterback do? He forces the ball, and the game's over. So you don't know what the kid's been told. You don't know if he checked.
But regardless of that play, I thought that quarterback, he was pretty good.
There's no question. He was the reason they were in the position
to
try to win the game.
And, you know, we didn't play well. We didn't play well on defense. We didn't play well on offense. But somehow I thought we showed a lot of guts and tangibles, leadership, toughness, closeness.
Yeah.
Which is good because those things you can't generate. You can get better at tackling and blocking and taking care of the ball and defending the pass. But, you know, with the leadership and intangibles and those type things, you can develop them somewhat. But to see them in a big game like that, that was really crucial because, you know, I guess you'd say we have a lot of gas left in the tank. I think it's more like we still have a lot of improving left to do.
Sure. Well, you know, and I thought
we certainly haven't peaked by any means.
Yeah, there you go. Well, now we don't want to, right?
We're only four games in the season.
Right. Well, you know, I thought the play that obviously it was the play that won the game, but or one of the plays that won the game. But when Demetri Birch on the snap doesn't hesitate. I mean, I don't know.
After he dropped it.
Right. And I was going to be kinder.
So we thought that was a trick play that you developed.
I don't know if it was a bad snap or a fumbled snap, but what I do know is he didn't hesitate, and he picked it up and sprinted. I mean, there was no – you know, no hesitation in what he was doing.
Well, he probably knew what
he had to. He had to get there quick, didn't he?
He was running for his life.
We thought that was a trick play that you developed.
Yeah, I did. I designed it. I said, listen, make sure you drop the ball.
Drop the ball first.
So the defense thinks you screwed up.
Well, see, from my
angle.
And
then since you're faster than them, run
just
to the corner.
Run around the corner.
Really fast.
You know, that's like the third time this year that I've seen him beat and get the corner when I thought that they had the angle on him. I didn't think he was going to get in. It was an amazing thing.
He doesn't lack speed.
No. And what about, let's talk about Massey's run. That was incredible.
On the
touchdown.
With the catch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny about that. It was, that's what we call an RPO play, which is a run pass option. And so we're blocking a run play, but we're running quick game routes over there. And the quarterback saw that the pass was there, but then someone blitzed. So he held it a second longer to get a better angle. And so when Sean catches the ball, we have two linemen standing like next to him at 6 yards. Yeah. So like they could have thrown a flag, but it was a good call. They didn't.
Yeah.
And so then Sean caught it and then wrestled the ball away from the guy, just took off for touchdown. But, you know, also we had a fourth down on that last drive, and my staff's going, kick a field goal. We'll win it later. And I'm going, no, we're going to go for it right now. We're down 14-7.
14-7, right.
And I go, no, we're going to go for it. And I go, who's our best player? They go, Sean. I go, what's his best play? They go, seven. I go, we're going to run Sean on seven. And we were in a timeout.
Right.
And so we ran Sean on seven. And the coaches said the telling thing was is that on that play, like several DP players that were like really good players were like backing up. It's like they didn't want any more. And I don't know. Right. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Right, right.
I know that that was a big fourth down play. And I think that led to the I guess it was the second touchdown.
It was the second touchdown, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, it was the first touchdown, I believe.
I don't know. No, I think it was – I don't remember.
Oh, you're not talking about his touchdown run.
No, it was a fourth and three play we converted, so I don't remember what it led to. Because then he had the reverse that they blitzed both backers, and right as we're hitting the reverse, Phil gets hit.
Yes.
And that was a great play, and that got his first down like third and 15.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, there was it was obviously a good football team against two good football teams and a good football
game. Yeah, they're very good. They're a good coach team. They're very physical and good. And, you know, I don't think we'll see a team that talented until deep in the playoffs, if we go deep in the playoffs.
But, you know, I think you feel the same way I do a little bit. Those are the games that are fun. It's fun to coach in those games.
No, I like the Edgewater game.
Okay, so maybe I'm wrong.
If there was no running clock. I hate a running clock because then you can't get everyone to play. But
you don't have fun in the DP kind of games?
Nah, no, not really. I don't know. I don't know. They're fun to look back on.
Right?
Once they're over, they're fun.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like the other ones, they're not fun when they're over. No, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But during those games, I don't think I've ever had fun during those stressful games.
It was, that was one of the games that you're constantly on the edge of your seat.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Great football
from the
game.
Beginning to the very end.
Yeah.
And, they're fun to look back on as long as there's a W to go along with it.
Instead of the misery that you think of later on that you can never shake. That's true. Okay, University tonight. Let's talk about them for a few minutes. What do they look like? What do they look like? What can we expect?
Well, our JV and freshman played them last night, and they didn't have a lot of guys out. But, they haven't won yet, so, they're probably not, great. You know, I think they're probably better than Edgewater. You know, don't know if they're as good as Ocoee. But it's really not about them. And here's the thing. Even if we're playing DP, we say the same thing. It's not about them. It's about us. And so we've got to get better and do some things better. And so we need to go over there and play good, whether the score is 7-3 or 77-3. It doesn't matter. We need to go out and play good. And that's what we're hoping to do tonight.
Yeah. Did you feel like week of practice, you had a good week of practice?
It got better. I think Wednesday was finally a good day. You got to drag it out of them a little bit. Just because, the Monday and Tuesday we got pushed off a little bit early because of lightning. And then, just the fact coming off such a big win.
Right.
And then having a team on the schedule next who hasn't won yet. It's going to be natural for the kids to kind of be a little bit draggy. But we're not going to practice any different. We're going to drag it out of them. And we told them in advance we would be. And that's what we did. And hopefully we got better. And hopefully it'll show up on film tonight.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think our weather will be good for us. We don't have to worry about that too much.
I'd hate to go all the way over there and have a rain issue,
It seems like,
It's a long trip, man.
Just to remind
you. We can't fly, Fred. If we went into Zellwood and we flew over to OIA, I think we'd get there faster.
Get there faster.
That's true. You would.
Than driving.
I know. Yeah.
Well, there's an executive airport or something over there,
Yes.
If we just flew from Zelda to the executive airport.
You got a chance.
10 minutes.
And
there.
I'd be willing to just take one flight, just pack kids on it, take 25, 30 kids.
I know that, we start the game at 7, just to remind everybody. The games are at 7, but I think we start the majority of our games so far this year at 7:30 because of either TV or rain delays. So, but
mostly lightning delay.
Yeah, but we're going to try to start at 7. We're going to hopefully see the Blue Darters, play well, and coach is looking for.
I like when there's a goose egg on the other side.
So
we've really we've kept scoring defense and rushing defense crazy down this year. We've defended the pass better. I think that was the thing about Dr. Phillips is we played better in the secondary. We weren't perfect, but they're growing up. They're getting better.
Yeah.
Coach, I want to thank you for being here. We're going to talk to you. Well, we'll see you tonight.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Listen to the ball game right here on 1520 WBZW. Download the mobile app. Take us anywhere on the planet. Thank you, Fred, for a great show.
Appreciate it.
And we'll see you tonight on 1520 WBZW.